patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Sometimes I like to just go back to the beginning of the Bible and just through memory or just flipping through God's Word, look at all the examples. And as the Hebrew writer in Hebrews 11 does, remember some of those great men and women of faith. Certainly we find a great deal of patience and comfort in such memories. That approach is being used tonight in the lesson which is a companion lesson to the one we studied this morning, as we deal with a word that is heard many times at this time of the year, and that's the word. Today is the last Lord's Day of 1987. In just a few days, we will experience the last day of this year. Not unusual for us to talk about what we do as we come to the last part of the year. We may be concerned about bringing all our business matters into proper focus, having all things in order as we come to the end, to the last of a year. And so we've chosen today to talk about last things in that sense. This morning we studied the last words of Jesus, noticing that his last words left for us are recorded in Revelation chapter 22. We saw that he emphasized fairness and judgment. He emphasized his divinity, his authority, the fact of his return, and right in the middle of all of that, extended his invitation to us. Come to him and find in him the water of life that comes to all of us freely. Tonight we're thinking about the last words of others. Remember, as we started the lesson this morning, we emphasized that particularly if we know we are speaking our last words, we tend to emphasize things which we judge important. If a child is leaving home and you want to give him some instructions, you may say several things and then say, "But be sure that you remember this. This last thing that I tell you is really important." And again, I remind you that many of us can remember those last words that were said by our loved ones before they left this earth in death. The last words of people are important. So think with me for just a few minutes as we go back to the Old Testament and also to the New and look at some of the last words that are recorded, the last words of different people. Let's begin in Genesis chapter 49. Jacob, whose name became Israel, was the father of the children of Israel. His name became synonymous with God's people down through the years and is even used in a spiritual sense in New Testament times. 49th chapter of the book of Genesis records the last statements of Jacob just before he died. Jacob realized that he was going the way of all men, and so he called all of his sons together. He began to tell each one of them how that son would fit into the future, how he believed that God's work would be carried out, and particularly through one of them even mentioned the coming of Jesus Christ. But as you look at all that he said there, think about what he was doing. He was showing an interest in his family, in his sons, in those who would carry on. His last words centered around his thoughts and his desires for his family, because to him, family was very important. You only have to be reminded of the sadness that came to Jacob concerning the loss of his son Joseph in earlier life. And think of the love that he had for his sons, particularly for Joseph and for Benjamin. The love that he had for his family before he went into bondage, and now while he was in bondage, and now he comes to his last few days, and his last words emphasize his concern for his sons. Something to be learned, don't you think? And then, not unlike this, but somewhat unlike it as far as the people are concerned, Elijah, in his last words, emphasized his concern for his co-workers. You read in 2 Kings chapter 2, about verse 9, you find the last words of Elijah before he left this earth and went up to be with God. Elisha was the one who was to carry on. Elisha had been working alongside Elijah and now would be the one responsible for carrying the main part of the work after Elijah's gone. And so in those last words of Elijah, we find him saying to Elisha, "You think about the work. You think about the things that you need to be doing. And if you will be watching as I leave, I'll grant you that which you wish." And Elijah had asked for something like a double portion of the blessings that had been given to Elijah. interested in the one who would carry on in the work of God in the years that were ahead. Those were the things that occupied his thinking and caused his last words to be centered on that point. Concern for co-laborers. Again, as we look at the Old Testament, we find in Joseph, one of those sons of Jacob, emphasis in his last words being placed upon an undying faith in the promises of his God. It's rather interesting to note that about the last thing that is said by Joseph before he died is about his own body. But it's not as significant that it was about his own body as it is what was involved. He said just before he died to the people who were around him, "Let it be recorded and let it be known that my wishes are that my body be carried with you back to the homeland when you go out of Egypt." And you know, as you read and study through the Bible later on, you find that that request was granted. Many, many years took place between the time that Joseph made that request and the time that the children of Israel were going to be leaving Egypt. In fact, there were many, many changes in the government of Egypt. From the time of Joseph being well known to the one who arose that knew not Joseph, and all the plagues, all the problems and persecutions, and eventually the plagues that were brought to the Egyptians, all of these events had to take place. And yet Joseph had enough faith in the promise of God that although he realized that this might be centuries in the future, he believed that God would keep his promises. And so in his last words, in a sense, he said, "I want you to have faith in God. And I want you to believe that he'll do what he said." And he said, "I want you to know that I believe that enough that I want you to keep my bones and my body and take them with you when you leave Egypt and go back to the homeland." His last words emphasized an undying and unshakable faith in the promises of God. And we find a situation in the New Testament that's not unlike that in what must be some of the last words of the Apostle Paul. We believe, at least, that the last book that Paul wrote was 2 Timothy. Therefore, the last chapter of that book would give us the last recorded words of the Apostle Paul that he left in his epistles for us to read. There is no doubt, at least, that he was an older man and that he was approaching the time of death, as we look in verses 6, 7, and 8 of 2 Timothy 4. He talked about the fact that the time of his departure was at hand, that he was ready to be offered, he was ready to go. Then he says, "I've fought a good fight, I've finished the course, I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearance." Here is a man who had been persecuted in so many different ways. He had faced difficulties far greater than you and I can even imagine. From time to time, he'd had his own friends turn their backs upon him. He had been beaten. He had been persecuted. He had faced all of these different things, and yet he comes to the end of his life, and what is it that he emphasizes? He emphasizes that he has faith in the promises of God. He said, "I believe with all my heart that there is that crown of righteousness. I have faith that God will keep his promises and that it will be there for me, and not only for me, but all others who live for God as they ought." His last words emphasize a complete faith in the promises of God. Look at another example in the New Testament. This time, at the time of the death of our Lord, but looking at another one of the three on the cross at that time, look at the thief. The particular thief to whom Jesus would say, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." The last words of that thief that we have recorded included complete honesty on his part relative to the problems that he had in life. He doesn't deny being a thief. And in fact, in the earlier part of their crucifixion, may have been involved in some of the mockery that had gone in the direction of Christ. But now, having seen the events unfold, his faith becomes such that he realizes that this is the Son of God. And so he evidently, to those who could hear, makes the statement, "We, the thieves, are deserving of this, but not Christ." He doesn't deserve it. forgive sins directly while he was here on earth could say to that thief, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." The thing that is emphasized tonight and makes an impression on me as I read that is, here was a man who knew that he was going to die. He knew he was being crucified, that he was being put to death, and yet there is complete honesty in his acceptance and his admitting the fact that he was a thief. That he was in need of forgiveness and he was in need of help. Complete honesty. If there's ever going to be a time that we are honest, it ought to be in our last words. It ought to be in those last words that we leave upon this earth. Such was the case with the thief on the cross. Again in the New Testament, a little later date, this time with Stephen in Acts 7. You know the story of how Stephen had preached the gospel to people who did not like what they heard. You remember how they began to stone him and eventually stoned him to death. As the seventh chapter of Acts comes to a close, Stephen is pictured looking to heaven. The Bible talks about how he could see where he was going, some type of a vision perhaps at that time. But then he looked back at the ones who were literally the murderers. Those who were murdering him at that particular time. And in his last words, he said, "Father, lay not this sin to their charge." A forgiving heart, even against those who were his murderers. Not unlike the attitude that Jesus had on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." But here's Stephen, a man who is being stoned to death. You know it involves pain. Involved all the processes associated with dying itself, and instead of thinking about himself and thinking about getting even or revenge or anything like that, his thoughts were centered around forgiveness and compassion. "Father, lay not this sin against their charge." He could have compassion even on those who were putting him to death and could die with a forgiving heart. The last words of Stephen were words of forgiveness and words of compassion. And then in another line of thought, as we go back again to the Old Testament, we find the last words of David. In 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, the Bible reveals to us that David called his son Solomon, who would be the one who would carry on after David was gone. And he said, "Solomon, I want you to do the commandments of God. I want you to carry out his statutes. You do things as God says do them." That's the gist of the first several verses of that chapter. Before in verse 10, the Bible states that David died. David was concerned about God's work. On another occasion later, he's called a man after God's own heart, and certainly he was one of the greatest men that ever lived. Though a man who made mistakes, a man who needed forgiveness, still a man after God's own heart, who could be concerned about those that he loved. And who could be concerned especially about the need of things being carried on in God's way and being done God's way. And so he said, "Solomon, I'm going, but I want you to keep his commandments and I want you to keep his statutes." David's last words emphasize the need of doing things God's way. Having respect for the authority of God and for the message of God that's given in his word. Not unlike this, the last words of Joshua emphasize the importance of a plea to those who would follow, to hold up the word of God and to make the right choices. If you were to read the 24th chapter of the book of Joshua, you will find near the close of it that Joshua died. Shortly before that death, in one of the most quoted speeches of the Old Testament, Joshua made an appeal to the people to make the right choice. He said, "You've got three. You have a choice to serve the gods of this land where we are. You have a choice of serving the gods back in Egypt from whence we left, or you have the choice of serving the living God." He said, "As for me and my house, we'll serve the poor." He made an appeal to the people. After having led them into the conquest of Canaan, to where Joshua 21 and 23 both state that all had been fulfilled of the promises of God, Joshua then appeals to the people, "Choose to serve the Lord and to follow him in his last words." Now these are some of the last words of some of the people. those who would carry on. We find an attitude of complete honesty, an attitude of faith sufficient to look beyond the time of death to the things that were ahead. We find an attitude of compassion and forgiveness. And we find a plea for standing on the Word of God and making the right choices based on His Word. Those were included in these last words of different people. But folks, can you think of anything that's better for us to emphasize in our last days of 1987? Perhaps these are not our last days. We talk about going into 1988, and we look forward to the new year if God decides that would be. But even though we hope to live longer, if it be God's will, perhaps many years in the future, and to be able to serve Him and to enjoy the many things that we have in this life among family and friends. Although we have those desires and goals, can you think of anything that's more important for us to emphasize than what we have seen in these last speeches of these people? You see, the only way to be sure that our last words are what they ought to be is to make sure that all our words what they ought to be. Jesus said in Matthew 12 that we'll give an account for every word. Someone has said that we're not ready to live until we're ready to die. Meaning by that we're not really ready to enjoy life until we realize that this could be the last day and we are prepared for meeting God if it is the last day. Then when we've done that, we're ready to live and to enjoy. So there is a sense in which we are not ready to go into the new year of 1988 with the right attitude until we have things right, particularly with God, in the last part of 1987. We need the same attitude that's expressed in these last words of these people in our last words of this year. So if it were to be our last days, that we, like these, can be ready to go to meet God, and if it's not our last days and we can go into a new year to serve Him, we'll have that foundation of honesty, compassion, and forgiveness, an interest in our families and an interest in our friends, and above all, an interest in God's Word and a plea to make the right choices based upon that Word. I submit to you that these last words of these people, added to the last words of our Lord that we studied this morning, give us some of the best characteristics of thought and action and words that we can have as we come to the end of 1987, and with God's help, go into the year of 1988. And I suppose that there's none of the things that have been mentioned tonight that are more important than that attitude of Stephen. He looked out on those that were putting him to death with an attitude of forgiveness and an attitude of compassion. It is so important, folks, that we have an attitude of forgiveness one to another. For those little frivolous things that don't matter, we ought to forget. And those things that do matter, that are big enough to continue to cause problems, we ought to meet them and meet one another and work those out and forgive and ask for forgiveness. Have the right attitude toward each other. Toward God. Because you see, one of the biggest things that we need as we come to the end of this year and going to another is God's forgiveness and God's help, and His forgiveness can only come when we live with compassion and forgiveness ourselves. It's so important that we have our last words right and our last actions right. The only way to be sure of that is to try to make all our words and all our actions right in the sight of God. Just a moment, the invitation of our Lord will be extended. This will be the last Sunday evening of this year that it will be extended. Lord willing, we'll meet again Wednesday evening in this year. But to say the least, it's one of the last few times that in a somewhat formal way, the invitation of our Lord will be extended. In reality, His invitation continues to be extended all the time as long as we're alive. But the fact that it is the end of the year, and that we think a little bit more about taking inventory and making our plans for what's ahead, ought to cause us to be perhaps just a bit more sober-minded.